Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand. Created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we offer you our airwaves this morning as a place to connect with other WNYC listeners, other New Yorkers, and whoever else from around the region, around the country, around the world happen to be listening on this fifth anniversary of the September 11th attacks. We heard some of the stories from StoryCorps. We'll take more calls and emails now with your stories, your grief, your thoughts, your hopes, whatever you are moved to say publicly that's appropriate to the day, and more answers to the question we've been asking for the last month. What have we learned in the 5 years since the September 11th attack? So our phones and our inbox are open for your September 11th fifth anniversary expressions. It's just all you until the end of the hour. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. What have you learned about your place in the universe, your place in the political universe, your place in the spiritual universe, your relationship to family and friends? Have you learned important lessons about others close to you, or about the world and your place in it, or your country's place in it, or your religion's place in it 5 years later? And we are saving a few of our lines, as we've been doing all morning, for Muslim Americans since September 11th. As a result of September 11th, what have you learned about your country, the United States? What have you learned about your religion, Islam? How are you feeling on this anniversary about any of it? If you're an immigrant, what have you learned about your country of origin as well? 212-433-9692 for Muslim Americans. And let's go right back to the phone. Elaine, listening on satellite radio in Washington, D.C. Hello, Elaine.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
So?
You brought up some very good points. Number one, I was to be on that flight United from Washington, D.C., from Dulles Airport to Chicago.
Wow. Why weren't you?
Why wasn't I? Because I didn't want to sit in Chicago while my husband sat in a meeting, a business meeting. We were to go from there on to Las Vegas, a direct flight, and I figured, I'll go get my nails done, and I'll just meet him, you know, at 11 o'clock. It was an hourly flight. It was no big deal. Unfortunately, I never told anybody that I was not on that flight.
Wow.
I'm Jewish, and I guess I believe in Bashiach. It just wasn't my time. That's not where I was to be, but unfortunately, my children went through, I can't even begin to tell you. My husband passed out at the meeting. They took him out and didn't even know how to tell him. And my son finally got me on the cell, and he said, Mom, where are you? I said, I'm sitting at home. He said, don't move. I'm coming.
And whoever thought God would reward you for getting your nails done?
Well, I'll tell you what. I sat in the house for a long time. My husband drove from Chicago with three other men that night, and he said in his life he has never ever felt so eerie. The sky was completely black. There wasn't a policeman on the road, and that was the only way they could get back, was to drive. And I sat there. He said, you can't sit here and watch this television like this. You've got to get out. And I got out, and it was amazing. For the first week, people forgot they were Republicans, Democrats, Muslims, Jews. It didn't make a difference. Everybody was, you know, go your way. It was pleasant.
And we know that every, you know, all those identity groups and divisions came back big time. But how has it affected you, been spared the Reaper over these 5 years?
Well, I'll give you a very good answer. It wasn't, A, my time, and, B, I have a lot of work left to do on this earth. And a very good question, and my husband is very politically involved in this state of Washington, as a lot of Washingtonians are, and immediately it turned to hatred because these bombings and everything that went on was the Jews' fault. We did it, we were there, and it was our fault. And I'm thinking to myself, to my husband, I said, honey, we're blamed for everything. So he said to me, let me ask you a question. When will you know that it is time to get out of this country? Let's go back to Adolf Hitler, because that's where my grandmother and lost all of her family. When will you know that it is time to leave this country? Will you know? Will you ever know?
We're going to leave that there as a question and move on to some other calls. Thank you, Elaine.
Thanks.
Jennifer in Berkeley Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I just have a couple of comments. I am a woman who converted to Islam in 2003 after 9/11, and I had been learning about Islam for many years. And I guess it was after 9/11 that my faith was really solidified. And I have never had any negative response from anybody in public because I'm a Muslim, ever. I've only had open arms and, you know, a lot of very thoughtful, interesting questions, which I welcome.
So does that make you think you travel in particularly enlightened circles, or...
I don't, because I've been in many different areas, and not only I live on the East Coast, which I think there's a lot of Muslims here compared to other areas of the world, of this country, but I've been in other areas of the country where there's not a lot of Muslims, and I haven't felt any negative vibe from anybody there either. So, but at the same time today, I'm standing in line getting coffee this morning during the memorial. They were showing it on CNN, and I felt this overwhelming urge to show these people that I'm bad too, you know? And you know, that was coming, I'm sure, from my own self. No one was projecting that on me, because everybody standing in line was watching CNN, and everybody was quiet, and everybody had the look of grief, and I had that look anyway. It wasn't like I was...
putting it on.
No, not at all. I mean, I feel like I'm, you know, on 9/11, I watched the smoke rise as I was traveling east on 78.
But you were visibly recognizable with a hijab or something?
Yes. And I feel like maybe there are some people in the back of their mind who are looking at me out of the corner of their eye. Is she sad? You know? I don't know. I think there's still some healing and still some knowledge to be gained for all of us.
So, Jennifer, beyond the question of whether you personally felt both Islamic and sad about 9/11, on the broader question of religion, here's one of the emails that came in to responding to our What Have You Learned question, and I'm curious to get your reaction to it. This listener writes, there is also something that we studiously avoided learning about 9/11, namely the role of religion in shaping the terrorist mind and thus fostering terrorism. Why is it that while our understanding of the physical world has changed dramatically since the human race left the caves, our religious universe changed only marginally, if at all? And he means this as a much, you know, broader critique of religion than of just Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Well, any reaction?
It's hard for me personally to respond to any broad critique of any kind of religious question. You know, all I know of my personal beliefs that, you know, Islam obviously does not condone this, and neither does any religion. So, you know, that's something that has to be explored on a very personal level for each individual person.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Another email. I have learned that I seem to be more fearful. I used to fly all the time with no reservations, but that has changed. I am open-minded and educated as an individual, and I am unfortunately jumping to conclusions and partaking in stereotypes. I wouldn't have given that kid a thought pre-9/11. I am not sure if I worded it correctly, but I think that I have learned to be more fearful. Another one, we said we lacked imagination before the attacks. That was, you may remember, a critique of the 9/11 Commission, a failure of imagination. And I believe we still do, says Ruth in Springfield, New Jersey. I believe that if and when the next attacks come, we will not see it coming. But afterwards, we will say once again that we fail to connect the dots. Jeff in Pittsburgh, listening online. You're on WNYC. Hello from New York, Jeff.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Great. Uh, just want to make a comment. The educational experience that your show provides, it's unparalleled, first of all. I mean, it's you can't get it anywhere but New York City, unless you're on the Internet or via satellite. That being said, there's so many comments that have been made by so many callers and guests that you've had this morning. You talked about leadership, vulnerability, fear, politics. You know, the main thing is, as a society, we're taught from childhood basically to go along and to get along. And the terrorists, they use that for their advantage. It's a complex issue that obviously has no one point of view answer. You know, however, when you turn on a show like just yesterday morning, Condi Rice was on Bob Schieffer's Sunday morning show. I don't know if you caught it. Her defensive posturing, I mean, it was just so obvious that the facts that led up to 9/11 and 9/11 events as they unfolded, I think a lot of the American people feel as if we still haven't gotten the truth.
Jeff, I'm going to leave it there, and I thank you very much for calling and for listening from Pittsburgh. And Mariana in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mariana.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
All right, and you?
So I have an interesting dichotomy because today is my husband's birthday.
Oh.
September 11th.
Oh, and forever will be those two things.
Yeah, I hope he's listening because we want to make sure that he knows that he's loved and appreciated. What I think I've learned is that, yes, to appreciate what I do have. I didn't lose anybody close to me 5 years ago. If anything I gained, I was 7 months pregnant, so I now, our family has expanded.
Mm-hmm.
So it's small world, you know, look at your village and who's here, appreciate who's here, and hopefully that can expand beyond just the confines of New York City and the rest of the world. It's a little utopian vision, but I have to hold to that hope.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank
and what's what's your husband's name?
His name is Scott.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Scott.
Happy birthday, Scott.
Thank you.
Bye.
Dave in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dave. No, Dave. Hussein in Islip, you're on WNYC. Hello, Hussein.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to let you know I'm Turkish and I'm Muslim. And then I do practice, you know, Islam. I do pray five times a day.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to let you know that at the time, my sister and my brother-in-law were visiting from Turkey. And then we were going to take him to the Manhattan. We were going to see, you know, World Trade Center. I was going to show him the Manhattan. I'm just trying to tell the world, what if I was there at the time? And what would, you know, this attack do for me? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what if I was dead in that building, and then I'm Muslim, and, you know, what good does it do for me? You know, so that's why, you know, we go to the mosques and everything, and then we talk about Islam, you know, our religion, it's pure and clean, but I don't know what these people, what kind of idea do they have in their mind? You know, when I go home, my children, you know, run to me, hey, dad, you know, they're waiting for me on the stairs.
And in your community, among your friends and family members, do you get any pushback when you say, you know, what did these idiots do for me as a Muslim by slamming planes into our buildings? What did they do for me? And do people answer you?
Believe me, our community, you know, we had problem with the terrorism all along, you know what I'm saying? As a Turkish person, I'm saying this.
Right.
You know, we had a problem, Hezbollah, whatever, in Turkey.
Right.
They were burying people alive underground because they were, you know, saying something they not, you know, appreciated. And then they were Muslims. And then they were just killing people because the ideas weren't, you know, matching up their idea. And then I don't understand these people. How do they come up with this idea to kill people? In Islam, he says that you kill one person, you kill the whole world.
And let's leave it there, Hussein. And I thank you very much for that expression on this fifth anniversary of September 11th. Hussein's going to be our last caller. I thank everybody who has listened this morning, everybody who has participated by calling, by sending emails with what you have learned, by suggesting music tracks. And we will close with a piece of music. One of the things we've been doing this morning is listening to some music that some of you suggested over the last week or so. Here's an email from the listener who sent this in to kind of set up our last expression this morning. A listener named John Freund, who writes, "My wife and I were supposed to begin our first ever European vacation on September 14th, 2001. We decided to get out of town, even if we couldn't go to Europe. We found ourselves in Harwichport, Cape Cod. Coincidentally, this was the town where my family had spread my father's ashes into the Atlantic 15 years, almost to the week, earlier. We found the Clap House, a bed and breakfast that had a piano. I had conceived this version of the national anthem prior to 2001 because I had a sense that our nation was in crisis even then. My band, Bigger Than a Breadbox, insisted that we use it as our secret song on the album we released the following year, despite the fact that it sounds nothing else like anything we do. Recording this quelled any microscopic intent that I had to write a September 11th song." Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.